Okay, we're starting by the two dots on the top of Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going from the Mishnah, Nishpecho Nitgalta. We discussed this a little bit back by the Mishnah because of Rashi's comment on the Mishnah. If it spills or it was left exposed overnight, then you can't utilize that water for the Nisuch HaMayim. And then you have to take it from the Kiyor as an alternative. V'amai, le'avir b'misanenet. Why don't you just put it through a filter? If the fear here is that the Nechashim came, the snakes came overnight and deposited venom in there. If you filter the water, you can filter out the venom and then it'll be fine. Lema matznitan degloka Rabbi Nechamia. Let's assume that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Nechamia Titania. Misanenet yeshbo mishum gudui. If you have a filter on the top of the barrel, on top of the water, there's still an issue of gilui being exposed overnight. Rabbi Nechamia imatai. Bizman shataktuna migule. That's only if the lower part is open. Aval bizman shataktuna mechuse. If the lower one is covered, aval bisho yona migule. Even though the upper one is exposed, ein ba mishum gilui. There's no problem of leaving it exposed overnight. Mipnei she'eres nachash domed lispog. The venom of the snake is similar to a sponge. Tzaf ve'omei bimkomo. It floats and stays in place. Meaning that it is either more viscous, it's thicker, it can be filtered out of the water because it has a different character than the water itself.
What is lower and upper?
You have the upper area is where you pour in the water. The filter sits between the upper area and the lower area
of
a barrel of any two instruments or vessels. So when you pour the water through the filter, anything below already went through the filter. So if the filter covers the entirety of the lower area, then you don't have to worry about it because it'll get caught in the filter. If there's a gap, there's an opening somewhere in the filter, it allows the snake to directly get to the lower area, then it's problematic. So, afilu teima Rabbi Nechemia, even Rabbi Nechemia can be the author of our Mishnah, eimar dama Rabbi Nechemia lehejot. Rabbi Nechemia might say that in terms of cleaning the water, filtering the water, that you can do for a layperson to drink it. V'alikvoa miyamar. For Hashem, who says that? Because the late Leila Rabbi Nechemia, doesn't Rabbi Nechemia hold of Hakriveu na lepechatcha, Hayirzacha, Yusapanecha, Mar Shem Tzvakot? If you bring me your refuse, your leftovers, your dregs, is that what Hashem wants? This is obviously not the best water. You have to filter the water to get it down to be clean again and had possibly eretz in it. So yes, in the end, if you filter it, maybe humans can drink it. But that's not the type of water that you want to bring as your offering before Hashem, even if there's nothing wrong with it at this point in time. So in the end, the Gemara says the problem here of this water is this problem of hakriveu na lepechatcha, that this is inappropriate to bring before Hashem, even if you can filter it, even if you can clean the water from the eres nachash. Again, Rashi on the Mishnah said that the problem was the issue of replacement or substitution, which is the venom displaces some of the water that you needed, and now you don't have the requisite amount of water that you need. Over here, the Gemara's conclusion, at least according to Reb Nechemia, is that that's not the issue, because you could have filtered it out, but the real issue is, Hakriveu na lepechatcha. There is some discussion here about the fact that you're doing this on Shabbat, because the only time you drew the water early is on Friday, going into Shabbat, where they couldn't draw the water on Shabbat morning. And there, the Gemara says here, you could have filtered it, which sounds like you could filter on Shabbat, which is an issue of Borer. It's a classic example of Borer. Here you're taking out what you don't want from the water. So that's a question that's raised here about the issue of Borer. We've discussed in the past the question if the water is usable anyway without the filtering of the water, then possibly the filter is not a problem, or if it's not visible, the items that you're filtering out, if they're not visible. In this case, you have both of the issues. From the Gemara, it sounds like it's visible because you could capture it in the filter. And number two is, it makes a difference. You can't drink the water with the venom in it. You can't drink it if you filter the water. So here you have a serious issue of borer. So many of the Rishonim say that it was really Mamalacha She'ain Tzricha LeGufa. Mamalacha She'ain Tzricha LeGufa, which is, it's just a test. You want to know if the water has venom in it. We're not going to use the water if it had venom in it. We want to know if it did have venom in it. How do I know if it had venom in it? I filter the water. Not because I want the venom out or I'm going to have the water. Either way, I'm not drinking the water and I'm not drinking the venom. So the borer is not relevant to separation. It's just a way to test whether the eres in there and therefore becomes a melocha shein tzricha degufa or according to Rashi to know if it's chaser, to know if it's missing something. I do that test in order to figure out if there's venom in there. But once I figure out there is venom in them, I'm not going to use the water. It's it. I'm just going to throw it out. Again, it's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa, which is an isur derabanan. Maybe in the mikdash they would wave it in order to have the water come from a mayan rather than from the kiyor. Alright, that's adon alach lulav v'avarava. And now we begin the final perek of Masechet Sukkah, which is about the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. HaChalil Chamisha V'Shisha. The Chalil, which is representative, it's the flute, but it's representative of the other instruments. They were talking about all the instruments. Sometimes that was for 5 days, sometimes that was for 6 days, and that's because Zehu Chalil Shel Beit HaShoeva. This Chalil, this musical accompaniment, was the celebration of the drawing of the water for the Nisuch HaMayim. It's not Docha Shabbat, it's not Docha Yom Tov. That means that if Shabbat and Yom Tov coincide on the first day of Sukkot, then you'll have 6 days of Chol HaMoed afterwards, and you have 6 days. If the first day of Yom Tov is not Shabbat, then you have one day that is Yom Tov, and then another day of Shabbat that will turn out to be Chol HaMoed. If that's the case, you lose two of the days. Two of the 7 days, you will not be able to have instruments, and that's when you have five. So you either have 5 or 6 days of celebration. Very good. So Tosafot asks exactly your question, which is, what's the question here in terms of musical instruments? Why do we have to worry about them? The only reason you cannot play musical instruments on Shabbat is because of a shvut. It's an isur derabanan shema yitakein kli. Maybe you'll fix the musical instrument. And we know that in the mikdash, ain't shvut b'mikdash. So if that's the case, there would have been a strong havamina to say that you could play the instruments on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Now the bigger question is, why not? Which we'll get to. There's another big Tosafot on the Amud Bet that discusses why not. But at least over here, the Tosafot says, Kaimalon, that it's a Shvut b'Mikdash, and it should have been overridden. The Gemara is going to say, on the second half of the Daf, that the musical accompaniment for the Simchat Beit HaShoeva is not a Ikar Mitzvah, it's a Hider Mitzvah, it's a Simcha Yeteru, it's a nice thing to do. So we have found in other places that this isn't a blanket Heter. The fact that Ein Shvut b'Mikdash is not automatic. Just because it's a Din D'Rabbanan doesn't mean it doesn't apply in the Mikdash. Because the foot frames it, there are certain ones that are shvut chamura. There's a strong din drabonon, and we're not going to waive it. There are certain times where the Gemara waives it, and other times the Gemara still upholds a shvut b'mikdash. So here, Tosfot says, not because of the strength of the shvut, but because of the weakness of the mitzvah, that they upheld the shvut b'mikdash. So at this point in time, we're assuming that that din drabonon of Shemen Yitaki and Klei Shir does apply in the mikdash. Itmar Rav Yehuda of Rav Ina. So we have a machloket amoraim here between Yehuda and Ravina. Chad tani shoeva, v'chad tani chashuva. In the Mishnah, when it says that the chalil was the accompaniment, is the chalil shel hashoeva, or is this a chalil shel chashuva? So what's the meaning of this? Amar zutra, mad tani shoeva lo mishtabesh. The one who uses the term shoeva in the Mishnah is not incorrect. Mad tani chashuva lo mishtabesh. The one who uses chashuva is also not improper. Mandatani shoeva lo mishtabej, the one who utilizes shoeva, or says that the Mishnah says shoeva, dichtiv, ushafte mayim bisason, that the shiivata mayim is associated with the sason, with the simcha, the celebration of the simchat beta shoeva, therefore the word shoeva is appropriate in the Mishnah. Mandatani chashuva lo mishtabej, he's also not incorrect. Tam Rav Nachman mitzvah chashuva hi, it's a very chashuv mitzvah, uba mishesh yimei breshit. Because it's something that already exists from Sheshet Yimei Breshit. That references the Gemara that we saw yesterday, that the Shittin, the pipes that led down from the Mizbeach down to the Tahom, already were in place, Sheshet Yimei Breshit. And that means that Nisuch HaMayim has an association with creation. The fact that Nisuchim, the Parah Mizbeach, are going to descend down to the Tahom and go down the Shittim that were there already, Sheshet Yimei Breshit. So because of that, it's a mitzvah chashuva. It's an important mitzvah. So that's the two possibilities about the language. Here the Gemara doesn't discuss why one didn't pick the other one. Tosafot points it out. Sometimes the Gemara does, sometimes the Gemara doesn't. Over here the Gemara accepts both of them as being valid explanations or valid girsaot in the Mishnah. It's interesting the Yushalmi, Tosafot brings down, that the Shoeva is not because of Shoavim Amayim, but rather, Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. It was a place where there was Ruach HaKodesh. And that we're going to have in the description of the dancing and the Simchat Beit HaShoeva in the upcoming Dapim, that it was not just frivolity and the levity, but there was some serious dancing and done by the Talmidei Chachamim that involved Ruach HaKodesh. And so therefore the Shoeva was that people who attended and were a part of it had the possibility of getting to Ruach HaKodesh, similar to what we find by Elisha when he goes out to the armies of Edom, Israel, and Yehuda when they're going to fight against Moab and they're about to die because there's no water there. And he goes out there and he doesn't really want to have any nevuah because he's upset. at the Melech Yisrael, but because Yehoshaphat is there, the Melech Yehuda, he's willing to give a nevuah. So he gets a musical accompaniment, and with the music it raises his spirits, and he's able to get a nevuah. So based on that, we see that there's an association between music and nevuah, and because of that, the Yerushalmi says over here that the Olei Regalim and those that participated in Simchat HaBeit Teshuva were able to reach a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what the Shoeva is. Right now, the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Chalil Dochet HaShabbat, Divi Rabbi Yossi, Bar Yehuda. So the Chalil, the playing of the flute, is Dochet Shabbat, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim Rim, Af Yom Tov, Enu Dochet. Not only is it not Dochet Shabbat, it's not even Dochet Yom Tov. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Machloket Bishir Shel Korban. The Machloket here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, is with the musical accompaniment that goes with the Korbanot. When the Korbanot are brought, there is accompanying to it, there's song and music that goes along with it. The Rabbi Savar Ikar Shira Bikli Vavodahi. The Ikar Shira, the major accompaniment to the Korban, is the musical accompaniment. And if that's the case, it's part of the Avodah, and there are Kelim that involve the Avodah. That's the case, it's Doche Shabbat, it's Doche Yom Tov, because it's part of the Avodato Korban. So therefore, it's Doche Shabbat. Verabbanan Savre Ikar Shira Bipet. The major accompaniment to the Korban is the song, not the music. The music is an accompaniment to the song, and the song is what accompanies the Korban. The lav avodah, that makes it not an avodah, ve'eno dochet haShabbat, and that's why it's not dochet haShabbat. Avar shir shel shoeva, when it comes to the shir of Simchat Beit HaShoeva, divrei hakol simchahi. Everybody agrees that's just an additional celebration or helps in the celebration. It's not a voda, the way Rashi terms it is a divya kosim chayitei. It enhances the celebration, but it's not an avoda or integral to the celebration. If that's the case, v'eno tochet Shabbat. Even Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda will agree that it's not tochet Shabbat. And not Yom Tov as well. Correct. So the point of having musical instruments there is for the simcha, not because it's an avoda. Amar Rabbi Yosef, from now, minalo, the behochi pligi, how can I prove to you that that's the case, is what they argue about? Titania, Kesav Breita, Kli Sharet Shasan Shel Eitz, if you make Kli Sharet out of wood, Rabbi Pusel, Rabbi says that Kli Sharet that are made out of wood are no good. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Machshir, and then Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says that it's fine. My love, V'haka Miflige, let me explain to you the Machloket. How do you know whether you can use utensils made out of wood as Kli Sharet? Manda Machshir Savar, the one who says that you can use wood, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Ikar Shirabi Kli. He believes that the Ikar Shira is done through the musical accompaniment with the instruments. V'alfinan ma'buva de Moshe. And we learn it out from the flute of Moshe. Now the flute of Moshe was unique. The flute of Moshe was an instrument they had in the Mikdash that was there from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was made out of a reed. It was made out of wood, like any other flute would be made of. They upgraded it in the Mikdash, and they decided that it wasn't good enough that it was made out of wood. So they plated it with gold in order to make it into a fancier instrument. Once they did that, all of a sudden the sound of the flute changed. It wasn't giving the sound it was before, and it wasn't the pretty sound that it had before. So they decided that they can't do that. They peeled off the metal plating and left as wood. So that means that we have one kli of the musical instruments that's made out of wood. And it's a bufa de Moshe that's used in the bringing of the korbanot. So we have this wood flute or reed flute that is used for the musical accompaniment of the korbanot. So man de machshir, the one who thinks that it's fine, thinks that abuva de Moshe was one of the musical instruments, and the musical instruments that accompany the korban are an integral part of the avodah. So I see from that that I have a kli sharet that is made out of wood. From there I can extrapolate to other kli sharet to tell you that I can use wood. Man de pasul savar ikar shira bepeh, the one who says it's pasul, rabbi, who says you can't use a wooden kli, thinks that the Ikar musical accompaniment of the Korban is the song, not the musical instruments. Velo yalfinan me'abuva de Moshe. Therefore, you can't extrapolate from Moshe's flute because it's not utilized in avoda. It's utilized as an enhancement to the song, but it's not utilized in avoda. If that's the case, you have no proof from here. I says, lo, dekuleyama ikar shira bikli. Everybody agrees that the major part of the song, the accompaniment here, is the musical instruments themselves. V'hacha bedani efshar mishe efshar kamithlegei. The machloket here is, can you learn out something that is possible from something that is impossible? Manda machshir, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says it's fine, savar danim efshar, mishi efshar. Learn out something possible or plausible for something that's impossible. What's the efshar here? The flute of Moshe must be made out of wood. It won't work if it's made out of metal. They tried it, and it didn't work. So the only way you can have the flute of Moshe is by being wood. On the other hand, any other klisha reita in the Mikdash, you're talking about a pot, you're talking about a vessel, over there it could be made out of metal, it could be made out of wood, you have a choice. So now, am I able to learn out about the vessels from the flute of Moshe? The flute of Moshe, I have no choice. I have to use wood, because that's the only possibility. By the vessels, I have a choice. So can I learn out something where I have a choice from something where I have no choice? I'm forced to make it out of wood because that's the only way it works. Over here by the vessels, I'm not. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, yes. Uman de Pasil, Rabbi, who says that it's Pasul, Savar, believes that Lo Danin Efshar, Mishi Efshar. He says, we don't learn it out because the flute is a unique circumstance where you have to make it out of wood, but that doesn't teach us anything else about any other Kli Sharet. Vibay Teima, and others explain the Machokle like this. The Kuli Yama Yikar Shira Bepeh. Everybody agrees that the major accompaniment to the korbanot is through the song, through the peh, and therefore the musical instruments are just a sidebar, and you can't learn anything out from them. But ain't danim efshar mishi efshar. This is gratuitous because if ikar shira bepeh, then you're not doing avoda with the instruments, and you wouldn't learn it anyway. So Rashi says ve'im tim salomar. This second line is even if you want to say that ikar shira bekli, everybody agrees that you can't learn out from the flute, because it's something that's impossible to do otherwise, and from that we won't extrapolate to other kli sharet. V'acha b'melif b'nora b'kalalei aprateu b'rubuyei umu'utei kamiflegei. Here it's a machloket about the methodology that you use in terms of limudim in the Torah. We say every morning in the korbanot, the shlosh esrei midot of Rabbi Yishmael. Shlosh esrei midot of Rabbi Yishmael, they're more extensive ones if you go to the beginning of the Sifra. In the introduction to Sefer Vayikra, over there they have 24. They have a number of these principles that you lay out. These are blueprints, principles that are utilized in being Doresh the Torah. That methodology, there were two different methodologies. One was called Kalalu Prat, and the other methodology is called Ribui Umiyut. Generally, Ribui Umiyut are in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kalalu Prat was more associated with Bavel. It's not an absolute, but we find that in Perek Merubah and other places that generally those from Eretz Yisrael had the Misora of Ribuya Imuyute, and in Bavel they had more of a Sora of Kalalu Prat. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what's the difference between these two different types of methodologies. The Gemara says, that's Machloka here between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Darish Klalei Aprote. Rabbi is Doresh Kalalu Prat, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Doresh Ribuya Imuyute. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh Ribuya Imuyut. Here they're both from Eretz Yisrael, obviously because we're talking about Tanaim, but nevertheless what I said before becomes more apparent in other places in Shas. Rabbi Darish Kalalei Aprate. Rabbi is Doresh Kalalu Prat. Vasita Minorat, to make a menorah, that is a klal. Zahav Tor Prat, that is a definition or defined way. You have to make a menorah. What's the material you must use? Zahav Tor. I do that. I have now defined how I make my menorah. Miksha taseh ha-menorah. So afterwards it says that you have to make menorah with one block of gold. That is chazaru klal. That has to be made out of one piece. That's a klal. In the Pashtura Pasuk, the miksha is defining the gold, and it's qualifying the gold. It's actually narrowing it even more. Not only do you have to use gold, you have to use one block of gold. The way the Gemara is reading it is, had I not had the zahav Tor in the middle, I'd say, make me a menorah that is one piece. So Zahav Tahor in the middle is a prat. The prat defines to me what is the material that I may use. So now I have what we call a klal, uprat, uklal. I have a general statement about the menorah, a particular statement about the menorah, the material used to make the menorah, and then another general statement about the menorah. It's a klal, uprat, uklal. So Rabbi Uzdarish klal, uprate, will say, klal, uprat, uklal, yatana, dana, lakeina, prat. Going to make it similar to the prat. So klal uprat, if you start this way, klal, if you had a general statement, it would imply that you can make menorah out of anything. Then I put a prat. I have a specific item mentioned, zahav tohor. That becomes a klal uprat. By klal uprat, any mashu baklal el mashu baprat. The prat, the particular item, comes to limit the statement that was said before. So if you tell me make a menorah, and then you say zahav tohor, then I have the general statement to make a menorah, and zahav tohor tells me how to make it. I make it out of gold. And that would have been it. That was the only way I could make it. Now I have a klal afterwards. What does the klal afterwards do? So the klal afterwards in the klal prat to klal says, okay, the prat limited me, but the second klal comes in as more inclusive now. How is it inclusive? As long as it matches the prat in the middle. That's what we call ke'ein ha-prat. Tosafot mentions in other places, ke'ein ha-prat, the chachamim decide what are the common denominators that are important here. And they'll take two or three common denominators between the prat and tell you that anything that is similar to that prat is okay. So based on that, you have a klalu prat to klal, which means that any kli in the mikdash has to conform to zahav. Zahav has certain properties. It's a metal. It is precious metal. Whatever the particulars are of zahav, that tells you that all kli hasharet in the mikdash have to conform to zahav, at least have a common denominator with zahav. We did have scalium in the mikdash, silver, copper, even tin they used at one point in time. Excluded from that would be eitz, wood. Wood is not ge'ena prat, and therefore you couldn't make it out of wood. That's klal upratu klal. And that would be Rabbi's position. Ma prat mufrash shel metechet, af kol shel metechet. Just like the zahav is made out of a metallic material, so too anything that's of a metallic material will be fine for the kli sharet. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish, Ribuye, Umiyute. Ribuye, Umiyute works slightly differently, which is, Vasita, Minara, Riba. Now when you Riba, it means everything. Zav, Tor, Miyate. So instead of the methodology by Klal Uprat we say that the Prat, the particular after the Klal, comes and defines the Prat. On the other hand, in Riba and Miyut, it's not that way. That Riboy says I include everything. The Miyut comes and says certain things can't be included over here. So mikshat asem minara chazar veriba. Now it comes in ribuy again. So now I have riba, miyet, uriba, riba kol. Everything's included. Because, again, when you have a klal uprat, the prat defines the klal. Whereas in the ribuyu miut methodology, the miut that comes after the ribuy is not a definition to the ribuy. It works like a klal uprat or klal. The ribuy and the miut is the equivalent of a klal uprat to klal, which says the miut becomes a filter, which is that anything that's dome to the miut will be included. So in the case of klal uprat, we say the prat defines the klal. In ribuy and miut, the miut doesn't define the ribuy, but it gives you the general category that is included by the ribuy. So that's much more open or expansive. Klal uprat would be only the prat and nothing else. It defines the klal completely. In a ribuy and a miut, the miut tells you the general category that is now included, not the particular item that is included. It's the equivalent of klal uprat to klal. Klal uprat to klal does that. That's what you get in ribuy and miut. Now, once you've done that, if I have ribuy, miut, and then I have a ribuy in the end, what does the second ribuy do? It removes the miut completely, and it says ribaha kol. Completely removes it, except that will be mayit one thing. Whatever, we'll find one thing that you'll take and you'll be mayit. That item will be mayit, one item connecto. That's it. So you rebakol, zahav. That zahav tells me zahav and not one thing. Whatever that one thing is, we'll see in a second. So that's what Gemara says. Reba, umiyo to reba, rebakol. My rabbi, rabbi kol mile. What is included here? Everything is included over here. So then, my mayit. What's the miyot? I told you that the miyot now will exclude one item. What is that? Mayit shocheres. You can't use earthenware if you had to in the hierarchy of materials to be used. Kli Cheres is at the bottom of the barrel. So if I had to exclude one thing from Zahav, I'm going to exclude Kli Cheres because that is the lowest form of Kli that you can have. I'm not going to exclude Eitz. And therefore Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda will say that Eitz is fine because I only excluded Kli Cheres. So these two different methodologies end up giving you a different answer. Klal Uprat to Klal says I can only have things that are similar to Zahav. Reba, miyot, or riboy says I can include anything, any material is fine, except for one thing excluded by Zahav, and that's kli cheres. And that's based, again, on the build-up. Klal uprat, the prat is the definition of the klal, and it's limited only to the prat. So then when I get a klal uprat to klal, my inclusive or more inclusive nature is something that is dome la prat. It can only be something that's in the category of the prat. On the other hand, riboy and miyot doesn't look at the miyot as being a definer of the riboy, but rather as a category. Definer, a limiter, but a filter. So then, a riboy miyot to riboy, the second riboy comes and says, everything's on, and the zav excludes. So if I were to do it this, klal uprat, if I just had a klal uprat, that would mean that you could only make the menorah a zahav, nothing else. The second klal comes along and says, anything in the category of zahav is okay. So anything that's metallic would work, nothing else. So kli cheres would be out, kli eitz would be out. All these items would be out because they're not metallic in nature. But the riboy miyot to riboy, if I had just had the riboy and the miut, it would say that the riboy came to include everything. The miut says, filter it only the category. The category would be metallic kelim. So if I just had a riboy and miut, I would say all metallic kelim are good. The second riboy comes and says, everything's in. So then what do I need the zahav for? The zahav excludes one item. What's that? One item is kli cheres. It's the lowest form of kli that you can have. It would be the equivalent of paper or plastic kelim today. But anything besides kli cheres would be good according to that. All right. So Gemara says, Amar Papa Kitanaye. This is similar to a machloket tanaim that we have in another place. Ditznan, we have a mishnah. Abdei kohanim hayu. Divrei Rabbi Meir. They were servants of the kohanim, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Meir. Mishpachat beit habpagrim, umishpachat beit sifraya, umi amum hayu. These were the families that were there. They are from amum. Shayu masim de kuna. They were miyuchas families that married into the kohanim. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus omer levim hayu. They were actually levim. This is a mishnah in Mesechet Arachim, describing who were the people playing the instruments in the Migdash. So you have a three-way machloket in the Mishnah as to who are playing the instruments. One is they were the servants of the Kohanim. One says they were Israelim, but they were Miuchas Israelim. And one says they were the Levim. My love, Hakam Iflegei, this is their machloket. Demand Amar Avadim Ayu. The one who says that they were servants or Avdei Kohanim, they believe Kasavar Ikar Shira Bepeh. The main form of musical accompaniment for the korbanot was the song. The instruments were just an enhancement. So therefore, you can have avadim. You can have anybody do it, because it's not a voda. So manda amar levim ayu. The one who says that they were levim, kasavar ikar shira bekli. They think that the major accompaniment to the korban is the musical instruments themselves. Therefore, you have to have levim do it, because levim do the shira, and so then we can do it. Where it says, Vitizbra, is that a great explanation? You explained two out of the three positions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Maika Zavar. Rabbi Yossi says they were Israeli Miuchasim. What does he think? Ika Zavar, Ika Shira Bepeh. If he thinks Ika Shira Bepeh, then Afilo Avadim, Nami. Then he should also be able to use Avadim. Why you have to have Yisrael Miuchasim? Ika Zavar, Ika Shira Bekli. If he believes that the main item here is the instruments themselves, Levim in Israeli Lo, then it can only be a Levi, not Israel. Ela Dekuliyama, Ika Shira Bepeh. Must be in that Mishnah, everybody believes that the major accompaniment to the Korban is the song. The instruments are just an enhancement, and they don't have to be there, and they're not doche anything. They're not an avoda. This is what they argue about. That this is what happened. They're telling you about the practical issue here. Why does it matter? Okay, very nice story, but why does it matter? Question is, if someone is known to be playing an instrument in the Mikdash, what does that mean for them? Does that mean that they're miyuchas? And does that mean that they can eat maser? Manda mar avidim ayu, the one who says that they were servants, kasavar, ein malim miduchan liyuchsin v'lo lemaser. The way Rashi reads it, I'll read it the way Rashi reads it now. Because we do not upgrade or promote individuals from their playing instruments by the duchan, to be miyuchas, to marry into families of miyuchasim, and not to give them maser, therefore, they could be avadim. Since playing musical instruments has no meaning, therefore anybody could be doing it, and even avadim. Manda mar Yisrael ayu, the one who says that they were Yisrael, kasavar malim miduchan, liyuchsin, avalo lemaser. Someone who's playing instruments is assumed to be miyuchas, and be able to marry into good families, whereas it doesn't have any bearing in terms of getting maser, so therefore Yisraelim could do it. Manda mar levim ayu kasavar malim miduchan ben liyuchsin ben amaser. The one that says the levim thinks that once you're playing a musical instrument, you can be promoted to be a part of a miyuchas family, to marry into a miyuchas family, and you would get maser automatically. So because of that, it could only be levim. That's the way Rashi reads it. It's really a chicken and egg situation here. Rashi believes the principle is what drives who could play. So the principle is, what do I do from the duchan? What's your ability to be promoted from the duchan? What does the duchan mean? And based on that, I can tell you who can play the instruments. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads it just the opposite and says no. Because the people who played instruments were the Avdei Kohanim, therefore, from the Dukhan, we don't upgrade or promote people to eat maser or to be miyuchas. Or, because the people playing the instruments were Israelim, therefore I do allow them to be miyuchasim, but I don't give them maser. And the last opinion is, because they were Levim, therefore I upgraded both of them. So Tosafot says that it was a practical issue up front, which is, who played the instruments? Once I knew who played the instruments, then the outcome of that was, what do I do from the Dukhan? What can I do? Rashi read it the other way around, which is that the Dukhan was the defining factor. What was promoted, or who was promoted from the Dukhan, defined who could play there. So the law was in place, and then you had to get people to fit the law. And then Tosafot says, the people were in place, and then the law fit who was in place there. Makloka between them. Here, the Gemara sounds much more like Tosafot. The Gemara in Arachin has a little sides more with Rashi. But Tosafot figures out a way to explain it. But that is the machloket between them. Now just to finish off this issue of Ein Shvut B'Mikdash, which we mentioned in the beginning of this year, how come over here, we're talking about musical instruments in the Mikdash, we say Ein Shvut B'Mikdash. Tosafot raises the issue, which we're going to see in the upcoming Gemara, is that you blow the shofar in the Mikdash on Yom Tov and on Shabbat. No problems. Nobody even blinks an eye, and they're blowing the shofar. So he says it's clear that we play musical instruments in the Mikdash. So why all of a sudden over here the Gemara is all worried about Shvut B'Mikdash, and over there they're not worried about Shvut B'Mikdash? So Tosafot separates by the nature of the instrument. He says that the shofar is a simple instrument, and Mitakin Klei Shir is very rarely going to apply to a shofar. Therefore, we say Ein Shvut B'Mikdash with regards to shofar and the blowing of the shofar in the Mikdash. On the other hand, if there are serious instruments, string instruments, or other more complex instruments, then there's a higher likelihood for Mitakin Klei Shir, and there the Chachamim did not waive that. There's Shvut B'Mikdash, and they don't allow you to play it. Therefore, in a case where it's just the shofar, we allow it in the Mikdash. In a case where it's just the complex instruments, we don't allow it. In a case where there's both, the shofar and the other instruments, we won't allow anything. Because we don't allow the other musical instruments, we also won't allow the shofar. And that's how he explains it here with the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Once we knocked out the complex instruments, which were normally there, we knocked out all instruments, and nothing gets used over here. It doesn't get utilized. Even though, technically, you could have still used the shofar or other instruments that were used in the Mikdash on other Shabbat, Shatot, and Yom Tovim. He says, but once we knocked out, we knocked it out completely. On the other hand, shofar, when it's by itself, which we'll see coming up in the Mishnayot, then they allow you to blow it by itself, as long as that's the only instrument that was being used, even on Shabbat, even on Yom Tov. Okay, we'll stop over here.